Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Bartlestone. We're so happy you joined us this weekend. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Bartlestone.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Crime Prevention 101, the personal safety radio show, as I like to put it, with the optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And today is Crime Prevention 101's first live show. Oh, yeah. Now, my faithful listeners know usually the show is pre-recorded. Basically, it's a timing issue for me. However, today we're going live for a very special reason. I am just so thrilled. Today, Crime Prevention 101 is actually hosting another radio show. And that show is called the Rape Declaration Forum. And this show is also a live call-in radio show that's based in New York City on the WBAI station, which is 99.5 FM. And it also streams live on the Internet, like our show. And it's also archived on the Internet, like this show. And on the Rape Declaration Forum, rape and crime survivors who are willing to share their stories help themselves and others heal by telling these stories on air. And each caller has free space to explain what happened to them and the lessons that they learned from their trauma and their abuse and everything. It's just an amazing show. To give you a little bit of an example here now, the forum recently aired an interview with a woman who was raped in Iraq, and she was there working for a subsidiary company of Halliburton, and she talked about how she's seeking justice from that company and from the State Department, and also a woman who was sexually molested as a child, and she was talking about how she put what happened into perspective and how she moved on. So these are really compelling and inspiring stories. And today, you get a chance to add your voice, too. Now, my guests today are the co-hosts of the Rape Declaration Forum, Rebecca Miles and Jay Grace. Although we're still waiting for Jay, we're hoping that she's going to make it to be on the show with us. But Rebecca is here with me. And we're inviting you to call in and tell your stories if you care to. And you can call in anonymously. You can tell the engineer that this call is anonymous. The call-in number is 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. Now, let me introduce my co-host for today, Rebecca Miles, who's here with me, Jay Grace. We're hoping, Jay, that you can make it. Rebecca is the creator, producer, and co-host of the Rape Declaration Forum. She has had 5 years of media experience working as everything from a reporter, correspondent, anchor, broadcaster. She's worked at Pacifica Radio, Free Speech Radio News, Newsweek On Air. She's even worked for the BBC World TV News. And by the way, she told me one of her main interests is plumbing. How awesome is that? She's laughing. I know you would.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Jay. I mean, hi, Rebecca. I just want to tell a little bit about Jay. Jay was the victim of a crime, and she does talk about it quite openly. Jay, we want you to come and be with us. She's got her own show now. If you're listening, Jay, please call in. Anyway, all right, Rebecca, tell me about the Rape Declaration Forum show and how it came about.
Sure. It came about 4 years ago. My boyfriend, Donald Vance, he kind of conceived the idea of it, and it came out of he does erotic art, and what he found when he was approaching people to model for him, that he had two examples, one of a woman depicting a woman in ecstasy and full of joy in life, and the other of the sort of more cowed woman who was talking about her, it was obvious that her day was lousy. And of the work that he showed to people, the majority of the women he approached would always go for the depiction of the woman that was suffering. And the more he talked about, through this discovery, he found that a lot of women had been raped and hadn't talked about it, hadn't really dealt with it, and were suffering. Really, this began as a discussion in my kitchen, and we were talking about this, and we realized there wasn't really any forum, apart from self-help groups and going to see a therapist, but there wasn't any sort of public forum where the thought to declare what had happened to you in a very public way, but being anonymous if you wanted to be, was missing. And there didn't seem to be anything online, and there certainly wasn't something on the air. So we thought, well, what about a raw space where people could come and talk about what happened to them? And the courage to do that and the step to do something very personal but in a very public forum seemed to work. And it also coincided with some of the work I was doing. I was doing lots of stories in the news about violence against women. And what struck me was all the stories were about the perpetrators. Their pictures would be in the paper. You'd hear about their lives. But the victim, and of course, needing to protect their identities and because of the court case that would be pending, the victims' lives were never talked about. But then also there was nothing anywhere about what happens 5 years afterwards, what happens 10 years afterwards. Because what I heard over and over again was how hard it is for people to get over this, how it affects everything they do, and what were the steps they took to heal themselves. So that's really what led up to it. And we launched it on International Working Women's Day, because the station where I'm at allows you to... a particular day allows women to create any kind of programming. It's a great sort of free-for-all experimental day. And we tried this out, and it was very well received, and then I was able to get some airtime monthly. So it's a monthly show.
So it airs once a month, and it's the first... What were we talking about, the first weekend? When does it air exactly?
Always the last Thursday of the month.
The last Thursday of the month.
At 10 p.m.
10 p.m. and that's on WBAI New York. We're gonna give that contact information regularly throughout this program because we want people that might not have been able to call onto this show to know that they can call from anywhere and be on that rape declaration forum show.
Yes.
Now, how long have you been on the air? Was it 4 years now?
Yes, 4 years.
And you do get calls from all over because it streams on the internet, correct?
Yes. It streams on the internet, and I found that the difficulty was how to reach people because I even found some reporters I were working with would come up to me off, you know, quietly and say, well, it's happened to me, but I am not willing to talk about it. So it was how to reach people. So we do it by, you know, contacts we have, but I've also used the social networking sites and. Mm-hmm. I've put out bulletins and saying, you know, I'm looking for people who'd want to do this. So I've had a response like that, and I've reached a lot of people in Kansas for some reason, California, and then the word spreads. One of the women I interviewed in Kansas had a friend who she'd met at a work group. Or they go and use this, what their experience as part, when they go to group therapy, they talk about what they've done, and it brings other people forward. So it has a ripple effect, and... So it's been personal recommendations and then just putting out a notice that this is what we do and we have examples of what it sounds like so people know that it's, there's a sort of safe way of doing it. I also had an engineer who doesn't work at the station anymore, but she had been raped on the way to work one night and at a bus stop. It was pretty horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And her way of doing it was to, she said, I can't tell it straight, but if I turn it into a radio play, then uh-huh. I'll be able to do it. And it was heart-wrenching, but we rehearsed it in the basement, and then one night she said, I'm ready to do it. So we put that on. So everyone comes at it with their own way of wanting to tell a story, which is... That's where the creative part comes into it.
Exactly. And people don't really understand that talking about it is one of the best ways you can heal and that your story, especially because we like to focus on how you've gotten through what's happened to you and are on the mend or mending, and that is extremely inspiring to other people who aren't quite at where you're at. Now, Rebecca, we got two callers on the line. We've got just a short time to break. What I'm going to do, I'd like to get the first caller on. I've got a caller from Maryland. And, William, can you put that caller through? And we'll take that up to the break. Okay, William? Okay. Maybe I just have to... Like I said, this is our this is our first live show, so we're gonna still work on the kinks. Do we have a? I have my caller on.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Are I have a caller from Maryland. Are you?
Yes, I'm the caller from Maryland.
Okay. Did you want to be anonymous?
No. My name is Susan Lee Titus, and I'm not anonymous because I've actually written a book about my experience called The Dancer Returns from Victim to Victory. And my story asks the question, if you had survived a brutal and public rape at gunpoint, would you teach aerobics to convicted felons?
Ah.
And
amazing.
That captures people's attention. And I was faced with this challenge because it was a cold night in December at 7 p.m. in an aerobic dance class. I was raped, beaten, and held hostage at gunpoint for 2 hours. And terrified, I promised God that if I lived, I'd give up my self-centered ways and try to do some good by reaching out to those less fortunate.
Amazing. Susan, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come right back. You've got a short break. We're going to be right back.
Okay.
Don't you go away anywhere out there.
Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it. So call us right now. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 459-4825. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable health insurance, call us now and see how we can help you. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. 888-459-4825. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back, everybody. And I'm talking with Rebecca Miles from the Rape Declaration Forum, and I have a caller that had to put on hold, Susan from Maryland. Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Susan was telling an amazing story. Just to recap a little bit what you had mentioned before the break, please, Susan.
Well, I had very unique experience of being raped, beaten and held hostage in an aerobic dance class. I was held hostage at gunpoint for 2 hours. And terrified, I promised God that if I lived, I'd give up my self-centered ways and try to do some good by reaching out to those less fortunate. And though I survived, I still had to literally pick my broken teeth up off the floor and start my life all over again, and part of that included being hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital because I was suffering from very severe post-traumatic stress disorder.
Of course, of course.
And it took me a while to get to the point to go through all the stages of rape recovery. I think the most important thing is to get help immediately and with a professional that will help you navigate all the stages that you need to go through. Because I don't think a catharsis is possible unless you really experience and go through all of these stages of shock, denial, fear, anger, and then hopefully acceptance from a learned perspective.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is critical. Now, what made you decide that you could teach aerobics and yoga to
dance.
Criminals?
I teach aerobics and dance.
Do you go into prisons or?
Yes, women's prisons. As I went through all these stages of rape recovery, the longest one for me was the anger stage. I was, after I got through the shock and the terror, I was very angry at the world, angry at the rapist, angry even at God. And I was, the anger was eating me up, the anger and the bitterness. And I realized that I had to get to the point of forgiving my assailants, or else I couldn't move forward with my life. I couldn't turn the next page of my life and move in a new direction. And
absolutely.
I felt that the best way that I could really forgive was if I was able to face the same criminal element that had done this to me, and also to bring them what brings me the greatest joy, and that is dance,
amazing.
Aerobic dance. And
how did you decide to write the book? Because that can be extremely cathartic too. I know.
Well, that was another reason. I was a writer. In the corporate world where I was at the time of the rape. And it took me about 8 years before I was able to put together all the journals that I had kept during recovery. I was always someone who wrote in a journal.
And that's a great idea, by the way.
Yes.
It is a good, yes.
And the book is basically composed of all the journals that I kept. And if you look at the entries right after the rape, they almost look like the writings of a madwoman, because mm-hmm. I was in such a horrified state. But then they became more coherent and cohesive as I went along. And it was those journals that really comprised the book.
That's amazing.
And when I went into, I had no idea when I got the idea to go into prison. I really didn't expect that to be part of my book. But what I realized, two things. The first, what I was trying to do is keep the promise that I made to God that I'd try to reach out to those less fortunate, and that I would, for my own sake, try to forgive. Because the last step in healing for me, and I think for a lot of people, is to be able to reach out to someone who is in more pain than you are. And no one is in more pain than a female inmate. And ironically, many of them have been rape victims or have been sexually molested since childhood.
Indeed. So you're getting there's some rewardingness and coming back to you for this. Give us
absolutely.
The name of a book again, Susan, and the website where people can get it.
Yes, the book is The Dancer Returns: From Victim to Victory, by Susan Lee, Lee-Titus. And my website is www.thedancerreturns.com.
The www.thedancerreturns.com. Susan, thank you so much. I got 3 callers waiting. I promised everyone I would try to give them a shot. Thank you so much for calling in to Crime Prevention 101's first live show. And maybe we can talk later a little more about the book off air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me see if I can get our next caller on. Rebecca, are you there with me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. What a story, huh?
Yeah. I did want to ask her, actually, that there's something that really troubles me, and I hear it every now and again, this idea of forgiving the rape, although that's not what she said in the end. But I'm not so sure I agree with that. I mean, it's a personal choice, but I wanted to ask her more about, you know, her anger stage, and then where she decided that forgiveness was the path to take.
Jump in. You know, this is you and me together today here, all right?
Right.
Anyway. But, you know, just a quick point. You know, I've heard it both ways, for some people, in order to heal and move on, they must forgive.
Right.
For other people, it isn't necessary for them to do that.
Right.
Rebecca, we've got another call. Her name is Revel from California. Hi, Revel. You here with me?
Yes, I am, and it's Revel.
Revel. Okay.
Hi, Revel.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about what you want to talk about.
Okay, well, I was gang raped when I was 19. I had very low self-esteem because my father died when I was 12, and I was always looking for love, so I got hooked up with a motorcycle club over in Hartford, Connecticut. And we went to another club over in Massachusetts, which was like one of the very, very well-known clubs. And my quote-unquote friend figured he wanted to get into that particular club, and he thought turning me out would get him that that privilege.
Mm.
And so I...
Was that an initiation or something? Is that what it
was? Not for him, I'll tell you.
Oh, well, not for him. Okay.
You know, what was he thinking? You know, that turning out somebody. I mean, they could have taken me for all they cared, you know. He wasn't doing them any favors.
Oh, okay.
Me neither.
Yeah.
And I counted 12 who came in the room.
Boy.
And I mean, at 19, at that time, it was like back in 1969, so I was pretty naive. I didn't even know what some of the terms were they were using and how to do some of the things they wanted me to do. And I got shot up with a BB gun, so I had a lot of bruises and stuff from that. They took my gun, my car at gunpoint in Massachusetts at the time. They didn't need a pink slip. They just needed the registration signed over. So they got that, and they kept me there for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
But that was, it was, the first day was the worst. Other than that, they didn't touch me at all. And
what happened? What happened from there at the after that, after it was over?
Another club came out, and he wanted me as his woman, and instead of taking me as his woman, he brought me back to my house, my home back in Connecticut. And basically for me, it was more about guilt than anything else. You know, I was listening to the other caller, and all I remember is that anytime somebody would ask me about it or mention it, I'd start crying because I didn't want them to, how do I put this, to, you know, think that I was bad because this happened to me.
We always tend to blame ourselves. That is such a classic. I shouldn't have done this. If I hadn't done that, I must have done something wrong. That is such a classic symptom.
No, it was.
Let me just interrupt you at this one moment.
Let me explain this. Let me explain my feeling about this. This was society putting this on us. You know that women during that time were blamed for being raped.
Mm-hmm.
It was, they did something. I even went to a doctor who put his hands on me when I was about 24, 25, after I was clothed, and his nurse, I told her I was not going to pay for that particular appointment, and she says, well, why not? I said, because of what he did. And she says, well, you must have. I said, no. I said, it is up to him. This is not me. It's society who has put this guilt on us,
mm-hmm.
and then we take it on.
One of the things that I always say on this show, and I was kind of waiting until after the break, but I'm going to say it now. For those people who are listening who are already survivors of any of the crime that we're talking about today or anything that we're talking about today, you've got to understand that nothing that happened to you was your fault. And even if you think that you used bad judgment in a situation and that left yourself vulnerable, that is never, never, never an excuse for a crime, for rape, for violence, for any of it. And just like Rebel was saying, and you please call yourself a survivor and not a victim. And understand that with the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. That is so important. And especially back when you were talking about, Rebel, that we were blamed as women if something happened to us.
That's right. And I will take some responsibility. I don't say fault. But I will take some responsibility because, I mean, if I had sat down and thought about it or if I had talked to somebody else, you know, about what could happen. I mean, these guys are known for doing this kind of thing. I mean, it's like I wasn't thinking. You know, I can't even say what was I thinking. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I was just being stupid. I was 19. I was like where a lot of 19-year-olds are. We think we know it all. And I was one of those pouty teenagers who knew it all and just went ahead and walked into a situation I had no business being in. I was not mature enough to handle it.
Yeah, but nevertheless, the fault lies with the persons that did it to you.
Absolutely.
Even if you used some bad judgment, the crime was committed by them, not you.
Absolutely.
Now tell me, okay, we're coming up to break for 30 seconds. When we come back from break, I want to talk about, because I know you had emailed me before, you have done many things to put this behind. So hold, I'm going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what you did to put it in perspective and to get on, okay? Stay with me, everybody.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
This is Rebecca Mathias, president of Motherhood Maternity. Did you know that in America today, 1 in 8 babies is born prematurely, and more newborns die from premature birth than any other cause? Well, solutions are within our grasp. Together with the March of Dimes, we can find the causes of premature birth. It's time for us to do more to help moms have healthy, full-term babies. Join the March of Dimes and moms across America. Sign the petition for preemies at marchofdimes.com/petition.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com. You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back. I'm here talking with Rebecca Miles from the Rape Declaration Forum radio show, and we're kind of doing her show on the air today. Rebecca, just to give people the email address that they can contact you if they're interested in being on your show.
Yes, if you would like to contact me, it's a very easy one. It's RDF, for Rape Declaration Forum, at yahoo.com. And I'm always looking for people who want to participate. I generally give, you know, enough. You can have we have an hour show, and you can take as much time as you'd like to talk about what happened to you and some of the methods you use to heal yourself. And we air once a month, the last Thursday of every month, and it's a live call-in show. And what I found is I sometimes have participants call on air, and we do the interview on air. And other times I've taped pre-recorded it, and then we open up the phone lines and people call in, and the person who's perhaps participated in the pre-record sometimes is in the studio or is on the phone line, and so we have a sort of ongoing dialogue about what's happened and what the things that were brought up during the interview. So okay, if you'd like to participate in that, it's rdf@yahoo.com.
rdf@yahoo.com, great. And before break, we were talking with Revel, who had a really horrifying story. But I know, Revel, that you have been able to put it in perspective and move on. And just talk a little bit about that. I've got a couple of other callers. Unfortunately, I promised everyone I'd get them on. So I just want to hear what you did to get back into the game, so to speak. And you sound great. Tell me a little bit about what you did.
Well, I didn't realize I was doing it for that purpose. But when I was about 27, I realized that I had created a lot of illnesses, and I was too young to be so darn old. And so I started on a search for health, you know, mental, emotional. I realized some people had to be happy. I wasn't. And so I went on a search. Took me about 9 years. Found my teacher in 1986. And I didn't realize how much I was carrying around about that. And I was I guess I was angry, but I think it was more guilty than anything else. And I did a lot of work with it, with my teacher. And he put it into certain perspectives. He said, you know, how about if you rewrite the story, or if you put it in a different, you know, look at it differently, that, you know, this happened to you. This was something, yeah, you kind of drew to yourself, but that was when you were 19.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not a namby-pamby guy. He does things with compassion, but he changed my perspective about it totally. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, how about if you could have done it differently, what would you have done? How would you rewrite the whole experience? And, you know, this had a lot to do with your father, so we did a lot of father work on that. This had a lot to do with my mother, and this had a lot to do with abandonment issues. And once we got a lot of my issues dealt with, especially my men issues dealt with, that started way back with my father, maybe even, he had mentioned this, but I don't go with that yet, about being adopted, so there's abandonment issues there and stuff. And so since then, what's happened is I've created a very great practice with a natural healing practice, and so I'm a natural health practitioner and educator. And
you,
I work with
you deal you deal a lot with people who've had trauma like yours and so forth.
Not necessarily that kind of trauma, but mostly with people who have diseases, because disease is created a lot of times by the mind.
Now, is this practice in California, or can
yes,
people?
It is.
Do you have a website that people can?
Revelations.com, two V's and two L's.
Spell it again, please.
Revelations, R-E, two V's as in victory.
Uh-huh.
ELLATIONS.com, revelations.com with two V's and two L's.
And if people who do have these kind of symptoms, health symptoms, because we do know that your mental state affects your body and your health, absolutely. Trauma affects your health. Would you be able to help them even if they weren't in California?
Yes, I do a lot of my work online.
All right, and I love to hear especially alternative methods of dealing with these things rather than in addition to or instead of traditional methods. And I don't like to give drugs. I don't like people to have to take drugs to get themselves straight. I like them to have other options as well. Rebel, I thank you so much for calling in today. Let's stay in touch.
Can I throw one more thing in real quick?
Sure.
Before this time, since my father died, I have not had a decent relationship with a man.
Okay. Okay.
They'd all been, what do you call them, codependent. Until 5 years ago, I met and married somebody, and we've been together ever since.
All right.
That's great.
Yay. Yay. I am thrilled. I am so happy. So you know what the issues are, and you know how to deal with it. So people, again, get if you got that. What was that? What was the website
Revelations.
Again?
Revelations. Two V's and two L's.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Ravel.
Thank you so much.
We've got Yvette holding. Yvette, can you put Yvette on, please?
Hello.
Yvette?
Hello.
Yvette, are you?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Yvette.
Hi.
I particularly wanted you to be on the show because Yvette is in New York. And have you ever heard Rebecca's show on
no.
WB?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, now let's make a connection here. Yvette, tell people a little bit about yourself, the story that you want to tell.
Well, as of October of 2008, that marked my 20th year as a survivor of domestic violence. And I lived on Fort Bragg back in the 1980s. I was married to an active duty service member, and it was a very abusive, violent relationship. I have been struggling since 1988 to get some justice for myself. back in also in 1988, he assaulted me while I was 6.5 months pregnant with twins. Mm. And I went into labor and I gave birth at 26 weeks. And one of my daughters died shortly the next day.
That is, I hear that those stories so often. I don't get it, but sorry.
And, you know, I've been trying to, he's never been held accountable for by the military or by the civilian authorities. And I say maybe within 5 months after my daughter passed away, you know, I had to wait for my other twin to come out of the hospital. And that's when I decided to make my move and, you know, make plans to leave him and come up to New York and stay with family. But I tried to leave him a couple of times before, and I was told by my family that my place was with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to be a good Christian woman. If I did, you know, act like a good Christian woman, then I could win him over. That did not work. I tried to leave him once before. I was told that I was told by my mom I couldn't stay with her, that my I had to go back to my husband. And I did tell her, I said, Ma, if you send me back to him, you'll have to bury me. Mm-hmm. And this was after my daughter passed away. And I went back down there, and 2 weeks later, he separated my shoulder.
Oh.
And even then, that happened, and although that happened off base, the police were called, but shortly thereafter, I came back to New York. November of last year, through a routine phone call, because I had decided to write a book about my experience.
All right, but Yvette, let me hold you here. We're coming up to our last break.
Okay.
Put you back on as soon as we come back.
Okay, thanks.
All right, and you out there, you stay tuned.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.fightsafe.com for more information. You'll also find information there on Susan's upcoming Crime Prevention 101 personal safety teleseminars. Think fast, talk fast, fight smart, which stress the many opportunities you have to deter or defuse a criminal encounter and how to use your brains instead of your muscles in a fight. Look for the new book information or sign up for Susan Bartlestone's personal safety seminars at www.fightsafe.com today.
Hi. My name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Have you ever thought about having your own internet talk show? Well, if you said yes, then click About Us. Then click Be a Host to get more information. Or just call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417.
Say that again.
480-294-6417. VoiceAmerica.com.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Welcome back, and oh my God, we're coming up to the closing segment of this show. I can't believe this. Before we get back to Yvette, I just wanted to make sure I get this out that for everyone that I did three previous shows on non-traditional ways to heal from trauma. I did one on September 20th of 08, September 27th, and November 8th, and they're all in the archives on my host page. And I particularly want to draw everyone's attention to the show in November that I did with healingthroughcreativity.org. And they are an amazing online support group and network. And for any problem, any kind of trauma, any kind of abuse, they do it. They help you heal through creativity. They welcome writers, artists, filmmakers, poets, whatever it is that you did. They have an amazing support network, and I truly urge all of you to check that out, healingthroughcreativity.org. Yvette, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hello. Still with me. Yvette, I have a question. You're out of the situation now, correct?
Yes, I've been away from my abuser since about 1999.
Oh, good. Okay. And since then, you did something. I understand that there's something you're working with, or that you founded, or
In October of this 2008, in celebration of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I launched a support group called My Life, My Soul, and that was designed to address survivors of domestic violence who are in the same situation as me. Women who, you know, whose kids were grown. Most domestic violence services out there are for women that are in crisis. Women that have already left their abuser or have been out of their abusive situation, the only option that's left for us is pretty much therapy and counseling. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create a support group to fill a gap, to fill a need for women like me who still need that place to go to and talk, to try to help each other. It is a peer support group, and it's in the process of achieving nonprofit status. I also facilitate workshops. During the summer, I facilitated a workshop for chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I was able to make the connection with them between domestic violence and what role religion plays in that. And that went over, that was really, really successful. And so I do public education on domestic violence. More than not, you know, my daughter's death is what keeps me going for this. I'm still trying to get justice for my daughter. My daughter's death was never investigated, although people knew that I was assaulted. None of the assaults that occurred to me, and being a victim of multiple crimes, he's never been held accountable for any of them. Mm. In the state of North Carolina, I found out later, in the process of me writing a book about my experience, I called North Carolina to get a copy of a police report. And that's where I found out that back in 1988, he had pled guilty and paid a $40 fine for giving me a permanent injury.
Oh, my God.
And,
these things are barely a crime. Even today, it is extremely hard to get justice.
Oh,
now, I have two resources for you that are specific to New York.
Mm-hmm.
That might be able to help you. And what I'm going to do, we're going to talk afterwards. I've got your email.
Okay.
And I'm going to email you with some of the contacts that I have in New York City, and particularly legal contacts that I think might help you in that aspect of it.
Well, what I came to realize over the years is that because he assaulted me in multiple jurisdictions, he assaulted me on Fort Bragg, so that's a legal jurisdiction all unto itself. He assaulted me in New York. He assaulted me in North Carolina. So for me to be, I can't prosecute him in New York for something he did in North Carolina. I have to go through North Carolina.
Right, but maybe it would be enough to just hold him accountable for what he did in New York, you know? I mean, You can't get full justice legally for everything, but even if a little justice, that's good enough. Huh?
Well, the problem with that, although laws have been passed where victims can sue their abusers in court for civil damages, because he's in the military, there's what's called the Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act.
Oh yeah,
no,
that's
court
true.
in the country will give me a judgment, a civil judgment against him, as long as he is in the military. He can only be prosecuted through the military. What I've gotten lately is, oh, why did you wait so long? It was 20 years ago. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I've been trying for 20 years. And because he's in the military, I've even had the experience of no attorney wanting to take my case because he's in the military.
Well, if you're still interested in the contacts I have, I will mm-hmm. definitely get a hold of you.
Okay.
Let's give the website for the support group. This is amazing. And I think that if people want to start support groups like this that are not in New York City, I think you'd like to hear from them too.
Yeah.
Right?
Give us your website
and your email if you want.
My Soul.
And I'm sorry, say it again.
I'm sorry?
Repeat it.
It's My Life, My Soul.
Okay.
And the address is www.mylifemysoul.com. I've gotten a few requests from women who wanted to join the support group that don't live in New York, that are out of the state. So as of February 1st, I will be starting my own talk radio show. So
hey!
That
All
women,
right.
You know,
where are you going to be doing it?
I'm going to be hosting it from here in New York. I haven't quite decided, gotten down the details just yet. But in February, I will be launching the show. I will let everyone know that the show will be launching, and it's mainly designed to help those survivors that don't live in New York that think that they may be able to benefit from what My Life, My Soul has to offer.
Excellent. Make sure you let me know, too.
I will, definitely.
Could you send me an email to rdf@yahoo.com, and maybe we can get you on the Rape Declaration Forum one month? I'd love to talk to you.
Sure, great.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Yvette.
Thank you.
My God, we have 2 minutes to close. Rebecca, I don't know how this went so quick. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we got to do this again, all right?
I think so. I'd love to very much. I would love to.
Let's talk about that. I want to close out now. I want to thank all my callers. To those of you that didn't get on, I'm so sorry. And you know what? I think maybe we're going to set this up again, and we will definitely have you, those that didn't get on again. We have callers backed up. For those of you that wanted to contribute and weren't able to because of time constraints, I'm so sorry. This went amazingly quick. I just want to say I've got a list of resources that you can call. I'm going to post it on my DearSafetySolutions.com website. I've also got some tips for recovery, and I got this. There's a wonderful group called HopeForHealing.org. They've got all sorts of tips for recovery from other survivors. This is what has helped them. We've got HealingThroughCreativity.org, an amazing organization. If you have a question that you'd like to ask me, or a topic, or a tip, or one of your own recovery tips, send it to me. Solutions@fightsafe.com. And make sure when you go to my website, there's all sorts of safety tips there in the safety tip section that might be helpful to you for different subjects that on different shows that I did. I got tips for everything. Thanks so much, Rebecca. You and I are going to talk more. We're going to get together and do this again.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity.
My pleasure. And I'm going to wait to come on Rape Declaration Forum one day and work
absolutely.
With you over on your turf.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Now, next week, to commemorate Self-Defense Awareness Month, I'm going to be interviewing the executive director of one of the best self-defense programs for kids and for others called KidPower.org. They are amazing. This is going to be a super informative show and one that every parent should listen to. In fact, it'd be a crime not to listen. So you know what I do? I say stay tuned and stay safe, safe.
We We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend.